You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. The partisan divide got a lot of attention last week in the State of the Union address from President Obama.
I have no doubt a president with the gifts of Lincoln or Roosevelt might have better bridged the divide. And I guarantee I'll keep trying to be better so long as I hold this office. But my fellow Americans, this cannot be my task or any president's alone.
South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley also tackled the issue in her Republican response.
During anxious times, it can be tempting to follow the siren call of the angriest voices. We must resist that temptation.
Our next guest says the president and Governor Haley are right to be worried about partisan anger, and Wisconsin is no exception to that kind of divisiveness. He worries that the partisan divide is leading to a rise of cynicism among American voters, making it hard to trust politicians from the opposing party or even to trust politicians or government at all.
David Haynes joins us now. He's the editorial page editor for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, which released an editorial on cynicism over the holiday weekend. David, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob and Veronica. Glad to be with you.
Well, David, what got you and the editorial board there thinking about cynicism this weekend?
Well, I think it's a combination of things, and an unlikely trio of politicians, Nikki Haley and Barack Obama, and Bob Gannon, a Republican assemblyman from Slinger, who, as we all know, made a crude gesture to Minority Leader Peter Barca last week. And it just got us to thinking about, you know, that is just so way over the top. Would that have even happened a few years ago? I'm not sure it would have. And part of what's going on here, I think, is that overall we've sort of allowed the political debate to become much coarser than it used to be. I mean, we can have a nice, calm discussion on Wisconsin Public Radio, but if you go on some of the cable news shows at night, that's not calm. And I think you see some of that bleeding into politics. You recall the congressman a few years ago who cried out he lies during, I believe that was during a State of the Union address regarding President Obama. And I just thought that Nikki Haley's remarks and Obama's remarks were right spot on. There is blame on both sides. So let's sort of get past that and start talking to one another in a way that we can actually debate the issues.
Well, this is an incivility among between people of the different parties. Do you see that turning off the public to politics, to politicians, to government in general?
Well, I think there's no question it does, but I think there's some other things going on too. Craig Gilbert, our Washington bureau chief, did a really great piece this weekend where he looked at a Pew Research Center poll. It's actually the same one that was referenced in our editorial. And they asked last year, Democrats and Republicans alike, which side did they feel was winning, their side or the other side? And both of them said the other side was winning. They were both losing. And I think the era of divided government in some ways is to blame for that. And we've had divided government for many years at a national level. It leaves people feeling frustrated. Republicans clearly at the national level, not so in Wisconsin where Republicans basically call all the shots at this point, but at the national level they control the Congress. But they can't repeal Obamacare. And so they've made promises to their constituents that they can't keep. That leads to frustration. You know, and so it also leads, I think, to this phenomenon of candidates like Donald Trump and to some extent Ted Cruz, who are pretty angry out there when you listen to them on the campaign trail.
Right. I think there's one thing is to be distrustful of the person on the other side of the partisan fence. That's common. It can get out of hand. But there are a lot of people always, and maybe more now, who have the notion that all politicians are liars. All politicians aren't worthy of trust. That isn't new, but do you think it's different? Do you think it's more widespread now?
Well, I think it's deeper, and I don't have the statistics in front of me, but if you look at, I think Gallup measures this. If you look at the approval rating for Congress, I mean, it's just horrible. And they have kind of dragged each other down. And again, I think that there's many reasons for this. Is it gridlock in government is part of it. I think in Wisconsin, quite honestly, the Republicans have a fair amount to answer for. Governor Walker, for example, didn't campaign on Act 10, what became Act 10. He couldn't have campaigned on it because it was going to be a loser at the ballot box. But once they gained power over both houses of the legislature and the governor's office, they decided to, in their words, go big, and they did. But I think that kind of behavior, without involving the other party in a real discussion, leads to the kind of anger and cynicism that you see on the other side of the aisle.
Talking to David Haynes from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about cynicism in politics and the partisan divide and the lack of trust in government and politicians of either party very often. David, a politician, an elected official, is getting pulled both ways, though. There are people who will say, people like you, who will say, hey, to demonstrate leadership, you have to compromise. You have to work together, reach across the aisle to get things done. But for each party, to a greater or lesser extent at any given time, there is the party faithful, the party base, who view compromise as a betrayal of core principles. So how does a politician navigate that in a positive way?
Well, we've seen politicians in the past, and I'm going back a few years here, but we've seen politicians in the past put aside the politics and act like leaders. You know, even Newt Gingrich and Bill Clinton, who wouldn't agree on much, found a way to come together and compromise on things like welfare reform, on things like balancing the federal budget back in the 90s. And if you go further back, there was even more of a tradition of that. We're not seeing much of that at the national level, and we're certainly not seeing much involvement from the minority party at all at the state level right now. So, but I think it starts with politicians deciding to be leaders in addition to being politicians.
Now, in another piece you'd written a while back, you point to some concrete ways to work toward that. One thing you mentioned was redistricting reform as a way maybe to end some of the hyper-partisanship. Connect the dots there for us.
Yeah, I think redistricting reform is really important because what happens in the sort of districts we have now in Wisconsin and in fact in many other states around the country is that the real election occurs in the primary, not in the general election, because these districts are so far tilted in our state. Frankly, they're tilted toward the GOP because of the redistricting in 2011. In parts of Illinois, they're tilted toward the Democrats. They're so tilted in one direction that there really isn't a race in the general election. Whoever gets the nomination, let's say, in a hard right-leaning district is going to win. And so the real election occurs in the primary. Who comes out for a primary election? It's the partisans. And so it tends to pull the candidates farther one way or another, depending on which way the district is tilting. And that's how they govern once they're elected. And I think we've seen that in a number of races in Wisconsin in the state house.
To get something like redistricting reform, I don't know how you'd make that happen. The public would have to be heavily invested in that. It's not a very sexy issue. And if you've got a lot of people who are cynical and disaffected from politics, how do you get them excited about something like that? That seems abstract. That seems a little distant.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. I helped organize, along with my buddy over in Madison, Scott Milford, the editorial page editor at the State Journal. A couple of years ago, we organized, I guess you would call it a campaign of editorial boards around the state, and we had 9 or 10 or 12 different newspapers involved, and we all decided we're not going to tell each other what to write, but on this day, let's write about it. And we did get some, we did have some impact in terms of raising awareness about it. But it's a tough issue. I mean, it's complicated. It's kind of Byzantine. It's hard for people to understand. And in a world where, you know, sound bites are more common than sometimes thoughtful thinking, it's a little hard to get through. But I think we just have to keep at it. You know, Iowa has done this for years, 30, 40 years, and it works very well down there. They have more competitive races than we do. And so that's the model that we have favored. And I think you have to get the public to put pressure on the legislators. It can happen. I mean, when we went through this thing with open records during the summer and into the fall, the public rose up and said, no, we want those records to be transparent. And the legislators who were backing secrecy, in effect, back down. So I think it can happen with redistricting reform too, but you need, again, some politicians to act like leaders, and you need the public to put pressure on them.
We're talking to David Haynes from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at the partisan divide and rising cynicism in politics here in Wisconsin and around the nation.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you see rising cynicism in politics? Do you feel it? And do you think one party is to blame or both parties? And what could be done to rebuild our trust in one another and in the political system? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We continue our conversation with David Haynes, editorial page editor for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. In a recent piece, he says he's worried about rising cynicism in American politics.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you feeling cynical about American politics, about Wisconsin politics? What is turning you off when it comes to politics? Or do you think it's important to stay involved and tuned in, even in the midst of partisan divisions? And what can be done to get political leaders working together and the electorate as a whole, maybe seeing the points that the other side is making? Call 800-642-1234. We'll go to our callers now. We've got Dave on the line in Kimberly. Dave, hi.
Hello, thanks for taking my call. I think it's that we've seen even within this state how the Republican politicians are very corrupt, taking bribes from corporations and the super rich, and then they have to do the corporations and the super rich favors, so they do whatever they're asked, and then they get more bribes, and it just keeps going back and forth and back and forth, and it just continues growing the corruption.
Dave, thanks a lot for the call. David, I want to tackle that point in a couple different ways. First of all, in an older piece you'd written that big money in politics, you do see as part of the problem.
Well, I do think it's part of the problem, but I think it's also an issue that's very hard to solve given the Supreme Court decisions about money as speech. But what we would like to see happen, what I've argued for repeatedly, and our editorial board has, is transparency. If a large contributor is trying to influence an election for a particular legislator or governor, we ought to know about it. And right now, we don't always know. The dark money is a problem, and I think that also breeds the cynicism. I'd add just one other point, too. Politicians have to spend an awful lot of time raising money, and that detracts from the amount of time that they're spending on the job. David Jolly, who's a Republican congressman from the Tampa Bay area, introduced a bill today that would prevent members of Congress from actually doing their own fundraising. They'd have to outsource it. And I don't know. I haven't looked at it. I don't know how I feel about that. But I know what he's trying to get at, or at least I think what he's trying to get at, is they ought to be on the job doing their jobs.
David, thanks for that call. And another thing that Dave reminded me of, David, is a notion. I mean, he sees the Republicans as corrupt, and I think it's a common theme I encountered a lot in my line of work. I'm sure you do too, where people assume that everyone on the other side is either corrupt or stupid or deluded or some negative thing. There's not a positive. They can't imagine a positive motivation for the other side.
Right, right. And Dave, thanks for the call, Dave. Dave used the word bribes, and you know, they're campaign contributions. I understand why he's saying that, because there's always an assumption that that will lead to something, and sometimes it does. But there's also a lot of folks who are very civic-minded. I mean, these jobs are hard jobs in a lot of ways. You don't get paid a ton of money. And I have great respect for people who do them. We need people to step up, good people to step up and do them. But I think transparency is part of the issue. If we have a better idea of what they're getting from whom and when, then we can hold them accountable.
Back to our callers now with Ross in Twin Lakes. Ross, hi.
Hi. I wanted to say the same sort of thing about the money in politics. Mike McCabe says that we've always had bribery, but this is the first time that it's been legal. And I think that the public sees what's going on, the tremendous amount of money that's going into the campaigns. The average person doesn't have much of a chance to run for office, and I think that we have to constantly be working on that.
Ross, thanks for the call. And that's another possible source of cynicism, that idea of relative powerlessness. Ross sees it in average person not being able to make a significant donation compared to a very wealthy person. Do you see this, David, as part of a root of disaffection with politics?
Well, I think it is. I think it's a really good point that Ross raises. But you also have to keep in mind that there's nothing that says that a group of citizens can't band together for a cause. This happens all the time. And so I don't know what Ross's clause is. He may have many clauses, but you can make a bigger, you can get more bang for the buck, so to speak, by banding together or joining an organization that, you know, believes as you do and contributing to them. My only thing is I'd like to know what they're contributing and to whom.
Talking to David Haynes from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about cynicism in politics. Ross, thanks for that call. We'll go now to Marilyn in Grays Lake, Illinois. Marilyn, hi.
Hi, and thank you for taking my call. I am calling from Illinois because there really is, I think, a direct comparison of what's happening in Wisconsin as what's happening in Illinois. As you say, the way with gerrymandering, Wisconsin is controlled mostly by the GOP, Democrats in Illinois. The cynicism in politics is there with the legislatures, but also with the voters in both states. And I think it hinges, at least one of the things that hinge on is the idea of compromise. It really, when you see what's been happening, what's being said, compromise is not working together like they did back in the 90s, the 80s, Tip O'Neill, whatever. It is more a case of do it my way because I'm in power and you, minority, just take it. And that's why in Wisconsin, in Illinois, I feel that's why the minority is having a very tough time. Why do it? Keep trying, but why do it? Because they're just going to get overridden.
Interesting,
Marilyn. And we saw that in the U.S. Congress.
Interesting, Marilyn. Thanks a lot for that call, David. So people getting disaffected, getting cynical because they don't make a difference. The other side controls everything.
Yeah, you know, in Illinois, it was interesting. At the same time, the Republicans were doing a number, in my opinion, in gerrymandering Wisconsin. The Democrats in Illinois did much the same thing. Bob Dole, the moderate Republican, who's back in office now, was gerrymandered out of his seat in northern Illinois. And so no party has the hands of neither party is clean on that particular issue.
Marilyn, thanks a lot for that call. So how do we get out of this, David? I mean, the temptation now is if your party's in power in Illinois, in Wisconsin, in Congress, you name it, you don't want to compromise. You want to take the ball and run with it. How do we switch that mentality to, hey, let's see where we can work together?
Well, one, I think, again, it takes leadership. It takes some brave individuals to stand up and say we're going to do it a different way. I don't know if Congressman Jolly's bill is, the right way to do it, but I know that Tim Cullen, a Democrat, and Dale Schultz, a Republican, when they were in office in Wisconsin, tried very hard to get some redistricting reform through the legislature, and they didn't make it. But you have to keep trying. And I think citizens have to let their representatives know that we want something better. We want something different. And I think all of us, frankly, and me included, I thought Nikki Haley's speech the other night really, really hit home for me. All of us have to sort of look in our own hearts and say, are we being civil here? Are we having a real discussion, or is it just shouting? And I think we all have to look in the mirror sometimes.
When it comes to that incivility and the shouting, I think people are very ready to police and promote good behavior for the other side. Do you think people need
right.
to do more of what you mentioned Nikki Haley did and police their own side, step up and critique their own people when they're incivil or angry or whatever?
Well, no, I think there's no doubt about it, and that's what made her speech the other night so powerful. Now, understand, she has like 80% favorability in her state right now and like 85% among the Tea Party members in her state. So she's no rhino. I mean, she is a very conservative politician. Mm-hmm. But she's also been changed while in office, in part by what happened down in Charleston last year. And I thought the way she handled that and subsequently the way she led the fight to take down the flag on the Capitol grounds there, the Confederate flag, showed real leadership. And so you have to have people like her stand up and do the right thing.
David, thanks a lot for joining us again today.
You bet. Glad to be with you.
We've been talking to David Haynes. He's the editorial page editor for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.